We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
But I'm really just taking a bunch of selfies.
And not needed. But you should know local agents in your area could help you find even more savings with GEICO, like military or federal discounts. And GEICO offers emergency roadside service. Switching insurance is an important decision. You can never know too much about it. So, Ohio, contact GEICO online, over the phone, or at your local office for all the information you really need. 92.3 The Fan,
2020 Sports. Here's 2020 Sports Update brought to you by Bud White. Make sure to catch all the NFL primetime games on 92.3 The Fan, brought to you by Bud White, game day's favorite white lager. Baker Mayfield has spent more time upright in the past couple of games. The rookie signal caller has learned some of the timing mechanisms needed. Interim head coach Greg Williams on seeing everyone come together.
Up front, I think our guys have done a really good job of doing their job. But more importantly, or as important, a young quarterback understands how to help his offensive line. The protection's not just the offensive line. A large part of it is, but the quarterback and the backs have to fit into that thing too, and they've all done it very well together.
Elsewhere in the NBA, David Nwaba ruled out. Cavs take on the Timberwolves from the Q. Team entering 4-14 on the season. They've won two straight. What does the Browns' win over Cincinnati mean for the rest of the year? Our own Daryl Ryder explains over at 92.3thefan.com. With their 2020 sports, I'm Jonathan Peterlin. 92.3 The Fan.
All right, welcome back. It's the Bull and the Fox with you on The Fan. And a pleasure to be joined by one of the best football reporters there is, insiders there is, John Clayton. John, of course, will be on the call, part of the broadcast coverage starting tonight at 7:30. Westwood One's coverage of Monday Night Football between the Texans and the Titans. And you can hear all the coverage starting at 7:30. Right here on The Fan. John is with us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. Good afternoon, John. How you doing?
Good afternoon, guys. How are you?
We're great, man. It's good to hear you and good to have you on with us. And obviously the Browns are playing the Texans next week, so we're excited to watch this game tonight. You know, usually when a team, John, starts off 0-3, we kind of write them off of the playoffs, but they've won 7 in a row. What do you make of that turnaround that they've had heading into tonight's game?
Well, a lot of it's an easy schedule. And again, sometimes you can't criticize a schedule. It's a schedule that's given to you. But when you really look at it, I mean, their schedule for the season was going to be 429 as far as it combined. That was the easiest in the league. And they've only played, if you go on prior to yesterday and Thursday, only two teams with winning records and only scheduled to play two teams with winning records. Now, a couple of things like that changed with some of the 5-5 teams getting wins and getting not wins. I mean, it was all set for them to be able to come back because these were all winnable games. Winnable games within the division, winnable games in the outer conference games, all those things. And so they took advantage of it. I mean, they do have the marks of a pretty good defense. You know, they have a great young quarterback in Deshaun Watson, and they've got weapons on offense and a very good coach in Bill O'Brien. So what it is, we don't know how good they are. We didn't know how good Buffalo and Tennessee was last year when they made the playoffs. But right now at 7-3, they've totally turned their season around after that 0-3 start.
You know, John, speaking of not knowing how good a team is, we're kind of there with our Cleveland Browns here with Baker and, you know, a couple games they put together here against the Falcons and obviously yesterday against the Cincinnati Bengals. And with the Browns taking on the Texans next week, I kind of feel like that's a huge test for them. What do you make of the Cleveland and the resurgence here post Hugh Jackson?
Well, I mean, I think what's amazing, and I don't know how do you explain it, is that Baker Mayfield's quarterback rating is the second best in football since week 8 after Hugh was let go and only topped by Drew Brees. That's encouraging, and I think yesterday was a major step forward, step in the fact that they were able to now be at a stage where they're almost ready to pass the Cincinnati Bengals, because you've watched how the Bengals have fallen apart on defense. Now they still haven't got the update on where they are with Andy Dalton with that thumb, and things are reeling right now to a point where they get the 5-2 start, now they're 5-6. And at one more win or two more wins by the Browns, and all of a sudden the Browns can say that they passed the Bengals. That's encouraging for the Cleveland Browns. You can see that they've assembled good defensive talent. Now they're getting more out of the offense. I think it's encouraging.
We're talking with John Clayton He'll be part of the broadcast team tonight on Westwood One. Texans, Titans, 7:30. The coverage begins right here on The Fan. John, you know, when you look at what the Browns have done by drafting Baker Mayfield, John Dorsey has done a really good job starting to try to change the culture. They've let Hugh Jackson go. Wise move. They've won 2 out of 3 after winning only 3 out of 40 with Hugh Jackson. Greg Williams has done a nice job. I don't believe he's the long-term answer, but do you think that he can coach his way into being part of the conversation this offseason for the Browns?
Well, I think he can coach his way in maybe being the defensive coordinator and staying there, because take a look at the success of the Chicago Bears. They go out and fire John Fox. They hire Matt Nagy, but they kick Vic Fangio. So you have now continuity on defense where you're not making as many changes, where if you go with a different head coach, he may come in with a different a defensive coordinator, and all of a sudden you don't know if it's going to be a 3-4, a 4-3, and that sets things back. I mean, I give you the Arizona Cardinals for that. You know, they go from a 3-4 defense to a 4-3, and they're completely lost at this stage. So what I think can happen is that maybe Greg can play his way in the defensive coordinator's job. But I do think that I don't know where John Dorsey's going to be on this, that they might consider Bruce Arians. I would have to think the leading candidate, if he's fired, is going to be Mike McCarthy, because John Dorsey's worked with him in Green Bay. And, you know, McCarthy's going to get 3-4 job offers, and he's a Western Pennsylvania guy, so at least he's familiar with Cleveland and all that. So I think the Browns are going to be in pretty good shape, because, one, they got a quarterback who can recruit a coach, and I think that you can see that the hire has to be an offensive coach with play-calling experience.
You know, Baker Mayfield yesterday, I don't know how much you saw of the interaction between Hugh Jackson and Baker after the game, and then some comments from Baker Mayfield that rub some people the wrong way. We love it here because, you know, we've watched Hugh lose every single game basically since he's been here, and we saw some of the things behind the scenes that we just didn't like. So the players seem to like Baker backing them and making these public comments. Where do you stand on Baker? Do you think he needs to grow up, or you have no problem with it?
I have no problem with it because, I had a problem not knowing him in the preseason, because when you saw him with the Twitter stuff and you said, oh boy, this guy's going to be really bad. Then I started watching Hard Knocks and I liked him, because what he came off as is he's a very engaging guy with his teammates and kind of a fun guy to be around. And I think what that comes down to, I thought he was going to be all ego, but what I saw in Hard Knocks and what we see now is a little bit of that guy that was a walk-on in college that was a great success story. So now I like him a lot. And what I'm thinking is going to be interesting in the transition to a new coach is that I honestly think that not that he had the choice. I mean, Baker Mayfield didn't pick the interim coach, but I think it was going to be a choice between Freddie Kitchens and Al Saunders. And I think that certain people in the organization wanted Al, but I think that Freddie was the choice of Baker. And I think he wanted was a guy that was somewhat in the Todd Haley tree. And because that's the case, I can see that's where Bruce Arians could come in and do something as a head coach. And I think Kitchens could stay there, as a coordinator or an offense, or at least an offensive coach. But you can see a little bit of the maturations of things. But I still think, McCarthy has a chance. And I definitely think that Baker Mayfield has won me over for his personality.
We're talking with John Clayton. He's from ESPN Seattle, of course, does the Seahawks sidelines. And he'll be part of the coverage of Westwood One tonight, along with Kevin Harlan and Kurt Warner, which begins on The Fan at 7:30, Titans and Texans. I'm curious about your Seahawks. Good win yesterday, John, for the Seahawks. And, they've kind of been an up-and-down team. They're not getting as much press right now. And Russell Wilson still remains a great quarterback, even though he maybe doesn't have the best weapons around him. What do you think of the season he's had? And I'm curious why Rashad Penny hasn't played more.
Well, a couple of things. First off, they're better than people thought going in, because there's people saying it was going to be 4 wins. And listen, I went back to 2008. And if you go with a quarterback that's a top 7, top 8 quarterback like Russell Wilson is and most of the other top quarterbacks, they don't have losing seasons. As long as they have a defense that can give up less than 23 points a game, which Seattle has, and a little bit of a running game. Now Seattle has at least number one as far as running in the National Football League. Russell Wilson's a top 5, top 7 quarterback. And so what's going on with the running game, and Mike Solari's the big benefactor of changing things there, is that they're powerful with DJ Fluker and J.R. Sweezy blocking. And the reason that Rashad Penny hasn't been starting is because Chris Carson's been better. Chris Carson's a 7th-round pick. Nobody had great expectations for him, but he's number 2 in yards after contact, And I don't know if you saw the flip play that he did yesterday. I've never seen one like that.
Amazing.
He did a John Elway whirly bird, landed, and still was able to come back and win and run. It was incredible.
Hey, John, I have one other question, and that play was remarkable. I found myself watching it 100 times over on Twitter last night. But one more question on the coaching search for the Browns.
You know,
do you think that there's a chance that the Browns could go with the college coach route? And do you think that it could work in Cleveland?
Yeah, I can see it, because I think that we had to change that in Jacksonville, and at least Doug Marrone's not going to call plays. But you got 14 head coaches that call plays. Well, how many guys? That means you have 14 coordinators that aren't calling plays, and you're starting to run out of guys who are going to be the offensive coordinators who've called plays who can become head coaches. So once you get past John DiFilippo, Matt LaFleur of Tennessee, Josh McDaniels, guys like that, who are you going to go to? And so I think the next wave has to be, whether it's this year or next year, the Lincoln Rileys, the Stewarts, all those college guys that are going to be considerations if they want to come into the pros. So I think that's the next wave, because you know what everybody wants. They want offense. They'll take a defensive coach if necessary, but the first thing they want Sean McVay, Doug Peterson, Matt LaFleur, an offensive head coach who can call plays and get an offensive staff together.
We know Josh McDaniels, who you mentioned, has done a great job as an OC, but it ended poorly in Denver, and then last year with Indy was a weird situation. What is his reputation right now around the league?
Not good. I mean, because look what he did to Indianapolis and stiffed them, and also stiffed a bunch of assistant coaches that were willing to come with him, and that caused a lot of problems. But overall, he's a good coach. I mean, again, I can't see John hiring him, because I think there's going to be a conflict that's not going to work out there. But the way it is right now, with the need for offensive head coaches, he's going to get probably one or two offers.
Be interesting to see, as I still think he hope. Well, I don't know. I mean, it depends what happened there in Indy and the relationship with Ballard and Dorsey or whatever. But being a Northeast Ohio guy, I think that he'd be interested in the job. And I did hear that he liked Baker Mayfield coming out. And to your point earlier, having a quarterback that makes the job really appealing to coaches around the league. That's got to be one of the most important things, John, that coaches candidates look at.
Oh, no question. And that's down to the nature. I mean, Sean McVay and Doug Peterson, with what they did, and now Matt Nagy this year, they really got the direction going in that way. And it's not going to change until the defensive coaches stop the offensive coaches. It's the offensive coaches that are going to get the opportunities and the jobs, and that's the trend.
Is Pat Shurmur going to get fired?
Who's that again?
Pat Shurmur?
No. He'll stay on. Okay. I mean, again, this is one where the Giants are a little bit more loyal. They're kind of like the Rooneys and all that stuff. They didn't do that with Tom Coughlin. I don't think they're going to do that. There's a chance, though, that something may happen in Arizona, because Steve Wilks, I think, is really struggling at this stage. And, now there's stories out that even some of the players may be looking as though they're quitting on the team. And when that happens, that's when you're going to have change.
The Bengals announcing today that Andy Dalton going on IR, and they've acquired the great Tom Savage. Is this finally it for Marvin Lewis? And are the Bengals the one team crazy enough to make Hugh Jackson a head coach again?
I wouldn't be surprised. Because the one thing we know is that their season is over. And I don't know how many more games they're going to win down the stretch, but it's probably going to be 6 or 7 wins at the most. And so what that does is, Mike Brown, and the Brown family, they don't like hiring people they don't know. That's why I can see why Hugh wanted to go back there, because I've always thought that he would be the guy that would come in to eventually replace it. But it's going to be a hard sell with only 3 wins in 3 years. But, outside chance it can happen. But, again, until you can tell me that person that Mike Brown has hired before, maybe to be Vance Joseph if he gets let go in Denver. But I could think it could be Joseph. I think it could be certainly a move. But it could be Hugh there, but it would be a hard sell.
John, last thing football-wise here, obviously that Rams-Chiefs game last Monday night was fantastic and a lot of fun for all of us to watch. Between the Chiefs, the Rams, and the Saints, I don't know how you differentiate, but of those 3 teams that are playing, especially on offense, at such a high level, which team do you like the most right now?
In the NFC, it's a team that gets home field, whether it's going to be the Rams or the Saints. The Rams, you can't go into New Orleans and win with that offense and what they're doing on defense. But if it's at the Rams, I could see that being a possibility. Kansas City, I think, right now is in a good spot. But of the 3 teams, they're 3 because their defense is still suspect. They're getting better with their pass rush, but they've still got problems in the secondary, and they need Eric Berry out there desperately.
Yeah. John, last thing, that you know, you did that legendary TV commercial with ESPN. I'm sure you get asked about it all the time. It's arguably one of the greatest ESPN commercials we've ever seen. Do you really like heavy metal music? And how much fun was it making that commercial and the reaction to it?
Oh, it was a blast. I mean, it was, what was great was actually right about 2 months after doing the commercial, I got together with Slayer. You know, and you got the guitar player is a Raider fan. The singer is a 49er fan. It was great getting together with them. But, you know, growing up in Pittsburgh the way that I did, you know, it's like I'm still into funk. So it's like the combination of funk and heavy metal. Does it get any better than that?
No, definitely not. That's great.
I don't think so.
And you made all the delicious.
In fact, you know, I'm trying to get for my podcast. I'm two people I'm trying to get for my podcast, Gold with the Professor. I may have a chance next week to get George Clinton. And Little Wayne has been,
Yes, that'd be awesome.
You check out my Monday column at the Washington Post today, WashingtonPost.com, and then I'll be doing a game for Sirius. I'll be doing a game for Westwood One tonight. Fill in on Moving to Chains on Sirius. Got my radio show. Having fun, loving it.
You're busy guy. We appreciate the time. Thanks, John.
Thank you.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.